Coming up on the show today, we hear from a California dairy farmer about efforts to get the word out about next month, which is June Dairy Month. I'm Sabrina Halverson. We start today with My Ag Life in Citrus. We are catching up with certified crop advisor Dustin Stewart. All right, Dustin, we wanted to just get a checkup on the citrus industry and see how things are going out there in your area. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing.
Things are moving along very rapidly right now. We're getting into the last week of May here, beginning of June. So the focus right now is looking at the tissue samples that we just recently pulled and finding the blocks that are low on nitrogen, because we only have a very small window till about mid-June to get on all the nitrogen that'll carry us through the rest of the season without, you know, affecting the quality, the rind quality and whatnot of the fruit. So
we talked a little bit last time too about, or we talked quite a bit last time actually, about making sure the nitrogen was correct. Tell me again, how important is this?
It's vital. You have to have enough to keep photosynthesis going, to keep, because that's the main nutrient that the tree is going to be looking for. Everything else is very important as well, but nitrogen's that main energy source that the tree uses. And being that we can only put it on up to, say, mid-June, it's very important that we get all the units that we need in and into the tree right now. So it's been a primary focus of mine, just watching all the blocks. You're seeing a lot of issues in the sandier blocks with nitrogen deficiency, just because it doesn't have the holding capacity. The soil doesn't have the holding capacity to keep that nitrogen where it needs to be in the rhizosphere. And it's easily leached through the profile. So what we're doing is encouraging the growers to go on shorter irrigation sets more frequently and putting the nitrogen in at the tail end of those irrigation sets. And one other thing that I've noticed on those sandier blocks is I'm seeing calcium deficiency in tissue analysis as well. It kind of goes hand in hand with the nitrogen. So what we've learned is that every unit of nitrogen, say if you did a big slug of a can 17 at say 25 units of nitrogen per acre on a sandy soil, you've really over applied because that holding capacity isn't there. And for every unit of nitrogen that leaches through the profile, it's going to grab two calciums and take it with it. So I'm really starting to see that show on these sandier soils. So we're converting over to this more frequent, less water irrigation sets to kind of help mitigate that and keep everything where we need it, you know, where all the feeder roots are so they can pull it up.
With doing the irrigation this way, does that help with better absorption of the nutrients, or does it help the grower keep a better eye of what's going on?
The shorter sets are going to help, because if you think of it like the sandy soil is what we're talking about, it's going to infiltrate through that soil very rapidly. So it goes past the rhizosphere where all the feeder roots are that pick up all of your nutrients. And so you have the chance of leaching those nutrients that you put into the ground, into the soil, injection, whatever, through that rhizosphere down into the lower profiles where it doesn't have the ability to pick up those nutrients. So it becomes a big issue, because you do start to see nutrient deficiencies. And the other problem is you typically will have a clay layer that's down, 3 feet, 4 feet, and all of a sudden you've over-irrigated and you've reached field capacity, so the oxygen in the soil is now gone, and you're making way for, like, pathogens to come in, the phytophthoras and everything. So it's kind of a chain reaction of, bad things happening if you over-irrigate for long periods of time. It really doesn't help in those situations.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And that was just a great explanation too. So are there any other nutrient issues that growers should be watching for at this point? Just keep your eye on the nitrogen calcium situation.
Nitrogen calcium. The other one would be phosphorus, and the big one's going to be potassium, because we're coming into heat and the tree is going to need the potassium kind of as like an antifreeze or a coolant. It's its natural way of dealing with heat stress. It also is a major, plays a major part in the quality of fruit that you're going to be developing. Cell division is pretty much over right now, so all those cells have been developed, and now we're just trying to fill those cells and grow the fruit. And so potassium is one that you're really going to want to watch and make sure you're at luxury levels if possible, to help get through this heat that we're going to be having, you know, in the next week or two.
All right. Good information. Is there anything else you think of that we should bring to growers' attentions or just keep top of mind for them?
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, heat is always such a big issue with citrus, when especially on like newly planted blocks where we're trying to develop a really healthy root structure, good trunk caliper, healthy canopy. When we get into these heat events, we start to see the trees slow down. Their photosynthetic rate starts to slow down at 85 degrees. Their respiration starts to pick up. And by the time the trees, or we get to 95 degrees, the tree is completely shut down. And so nothing's happening. You're not, if the tree's got fruit on it, you're not sizing that fruit anymore. If it's a newly planted orchard, we have no new growth. So anything a grower can do to help get the canopy temperature down of their blocks, that's going to add, you know, added hours every single day of photosynthesis, which is going to allow them to keep growing, keep doing those things that we want, so we can produce early on and be able to sustain larger crops. My growers, there's plenty of products out there, from Surround to Mask, you name it. We personally have Crop Shield, and that's what we're doing right now, is we're going through and kind of setting up those applications to help in our case, refract light off of the plants, lower canopy temperatures anywhere from 12 to 15 degrees, give them a little shot of nutrition in there, and just give them that extra helping hand, because that's the one thing we really can't control, is when the plant's completely shut down, sitting stagnant, and you've got, you know, 105 degree to 110 degree days just beating that tree up. We can avoid a lot of that and help them.
Thank you again to Certified Crop Advisor Dustin Stewart. Our news brief is up next. We'll be right back.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower, so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you. Agromiora Nursery is the premier nursery in California. Whether it's almonds, walnuts, pistachios, prunes, or olives, Agromiora has been the grower's source for over 20 years and is the home of Root Pack R Almond, Grizzly Walnut, and the North American plants UCB1 and Platinum Clonal Pistachio Rootstocks. As the worldwide leader in super high-density almonds, olives, and prunes, Agromiora can show you how to cut costs and increase yields with their super high-density rootstock Root Pack 20. For more information or to schedule a site visit, contact a representative at 530-812-3398 today.
Here's our news brief for today. The U.S. Apple Association Board of Directors this week gave an enthusiastic go-ahead to hold the organization's annual conference in person this summer. The 126th Annual Crop and Outlook Marketing Conference will take place August 19th and 20th in Chicago. The two-day meeting will showcase diverse speakers and topics, growers and Apple business leaders from across the nation, and the always anticipated crop forecast. Dairy margins could shrink in 2022, Gary Crawford reports.
U.S. dairy operators are boosting production this year and will likely continue in 2022. The USDA says milk output in April was up 3 1/3% from April a year ago. The cow herd, 113,000 head larger. April milk per cow, 40 pounds more. Looking ahead to next year, USDA Outlook Chairman Mark Chekanowski says output in 2022 will likely top this year by about 1%.
And that's coming despite an expectation for a decline in cow numbers. And that's more than offset, or expected to be more than offset, by an increase in milk per cow, so higher productivity.
But lower prices, down about 2.3% from this year to an average all milk price of $18.50 a hundredweight. Not an unusually low price, but feed costs are forecast up 20 to 30%, cutting into margins. So Mark says the combination of lower milk prices and much higher feed costs
is likely to trigger some payments through the margin protection program.
This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
A bipartisan group of representatives sent a letter to U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai and Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack regarding dairy and the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. They're asking the administration to move ahead with enforcement measures negotiated in the USMCA to support U.S. dairy farmers. A key part of the USMCA agreement was the promise of new export opportunities for America's dairy industry, including the introduction of fairer trade rules to ensure American-made dairy exports can compete on a level playing field. The coalition says it's crucial that the administration hold U.S. trading partners accountable to their tariff commitments. So far, Canada has not taken actions to alter its dairy tariff rate quotas to bring them into compliance with the USMCA. The Samuel J. Heyman Service to America Medal is one of the highest honors bestowed to federal employees, with three USDA employees nominated in various categories for 2021. Rod Bain reports.
Not one, not two. Three Agriculture Department personnel, for the first time ever, are finalists in various categories to earn a distinguished honor for federal government employees.
The Samuel J. Heyman Service to America Medals. It's known as the Oscars of the federal government.
As well as the Sammies, according to Agriculture Research Service civil engineer Sherry Hunt. She is among the USDA personnel nominated for a Sammy this year. Chief Information Officer Gary Washington is nominated in the Management Excellence category for modernizing USDA technology capabilities. ARS research chemist William Hart Cooper is nominated in the Emerging Leaders category for his work in developing new formulations of disinfectant and biodegradable packing products. As for Sherry Hunt, she is nominated
for the Science and Environment category.
Hunt and her ARS Hydraulic Engineering Research Unit in Oklahoma are behind designs to rehabilitate aging small dams, structures essential for flood control, water supplies, and irrigation.
I provide research support for the USDA Small Watershed Program, administered by our partners at the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, who has been responsible for the technical and financial assistance provided for the construction of nearly 12,000 flood control dams across the nation. My job as a scientist is developing design guidelines to support the design of those structures because they wanted them to be standardized across the nation. And with them aging, they need assistance now on how to address these structures so they can continue to provide these benefits for years to come.
Design guidelines have been developed for step spillways to protect aging dams, while research support includes software development to predict breach of dams.
In case they cannot be addressed in a timely fashion, can we at least predict what's going to happen downstream of them, or can we prioritize them to be addressed first?
Hunt adds that her recognition as a Samuel J. Heyman Service to America Medal nominee transcends across her research unit and across agencies.
Really and truly recognizes the successful partnerships that our agency has had with other federal stakeholders, along with university partners, state and local governments, as well as landowners that have helped implement the USDA Small Watershed Program so it can continue to be successful for years to come.
Winners of the Samuel J. Heyman Service to America Medals will be announced this October. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The Soil Health Partnership, which was a project of the National Corn Growers Association, is scheduled to close its doors for good on May 28th. John Mesko, the group's senior director, says CHP has accomplished its original mission of determining the economic and environmental impact of conservation practices and communicating the importance of soil health to farmers and the agriculture community. USDA is helping to clear up confusion about date labeling on food products. Here's Stephanie Ho.
What's the story about the date labels on food products in the supermarket?
I know there's a lot of consumer confusion about the different date labels, best by, sell by, use by, and so forth. And so USDA has created a fact sheet on food product dating that clarifies the use and meaning of food product dating and encourages the best if used by phrase to convey quality dates.
Jean Busby is USDA's food loss and waste liaison.
Manufacturers provide date labels to help consumers and retailers decide when food is of best quality. Except for infant formula, dates are not an indicator of the product's safety and are not required by federal law.
She adds that
if the date on a food product passes during home storage, it should still be safe and wholesome if handled properly until spoilage is evident.
More information on date labeling can be found at usda.gov/foodlossandwaste, one word, under consumers. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
That's your news brief for today. We'll be right back.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
The My Ag Life Daily News Report is brought to you in part by the California Walnut Board.
June Dairy Month is right around the corner. To get the month kicked off, Dairy Management Inc. held a forum Monday with a few notable dairy producers. Among them was a California Gen Z dairy farmer. The news conference kicked off with President of Dairy Management Inc., Barbara O'Brien.
As Scott said, the purpose of today's briefing is really to talk through how DMI and our state and regional network of 16 units across the country, you know, has long recognized the importance of the next generation in our work. You've seen us, right? Our strong dairy education programs and the work we do to ensure that kids every day are having a positive experience in schools with milk and other dairy products. But also in digging deep to understand what drives the next generation's attitudes and beliefs, not just about our category, but about the future. Because we all know that generation is 100% of our future consumer. You know, our strategies with kids and with schools has evolved over the years. And most recently, given the pandemic, as most of you followed, schools shut down. And we took our legacy program, Fuel Up to Play 60, 100% virtual, which was interesting. There were risks associated with that, but it in fact proved to have a silver lining, because we not only maintained, but we expanded our reach to millions of school-age kids, to teachers, and then to parents who were teaching their kids at home. So it truly was an amazing opportunity to reach families through Fuel Up to Play Homeroom. Our 2021 Unified Marketing Plan is focusing even more intensely on this next Gen Z generation. And those are kids, just for the record, they're about age 10 to age 23 at this point. And we know based on research that this is a generation that is truly setting themselves apart. They have massive spending power. an estimated $100 billion. And from what we know about how this generation wants to change the world, their changing expectations of brands, and how they're willing to spend their money on brands that are doing good and doing right in their view, it can have an enormous impact on dairy as well as other categories. You know, we also know when it comes to food, this generation has a philosophy about balance, and healthy eating to them means feeding their body what it needs, but also what it craves, which gives us an enormous opportunity to feature both nutrition and indulgence in the products that we put in front of this generation. You know, finally, I'll just say, and I think we all know this intuitively as the mother, the grandparent, whatever role you play with this generation, they have mostly grown up online and they have information at their fingertips. So they're digitally savvy and are willing to share their data in exchange for a more personalized experience, personalized content and recommendations meant just for them. So again, we are actively testing new programs, new partners, new vehicles, and new messages to ensure that dairy is staying relevant and that our content is resonant.
Ann Warden, the Executive Vice President of Strategic Integration, tells us more about getting dairy in front of younger people.
You know, as Barb said, the Dairy Checkoff is tapping into some new exciting ways to engage our Gen Z audiences with dairy farmers and dairy products. And as Scott noted, I'm going to give you a couple examples of that work in action. And then I'm really excited for you to hear from some of the people we're partnering with to make that connection with young consumers. But before I dive into that, let me just reiterate a little of what Barb shared about why the checkoff has increased the focus on youth audiences. Of course, dairy farmers, as you all know, have been supporting ways to ensure kids get a healthy start to life for a long, long time. Particularly through the longstanding commitment that they've made to school nutrition. But the reality is that today, kids are hearing opinions about what foods to eat well beyond the classroom and cafeteria walls. They are truly bombarded with opinions on what's supposedly good and what's bad for them on social media, from celebrities, from their friends. And beyond that, we know that kids today have so many more choices for foods and beverages than ever before in all parts of their day. And then when you add into that, that kids today are more disconnected than ever from where their food comes from. So few have the benefit of being able to step foot on a farm. And that leads to growing questions about whether dairy is good for animals, whether it's good for the environment. And that all adds up to making it really critical that we make sure that they understand that milk and dairy, one, it has unparalleled combination of nutrients. Two, it is made with care. And three, of course, we know it has a taste that just can't be matched. In addition to all that, all of being so critical that we reach these young consumers beyond schools, it's also really important for us all to note that, as Barb said, Gen Z is transforming just about how every sector markets their products. As she said, they are a highly savvy audience, one that exists almost entirely in a digital world. They are moving between multiple devices a day, multiple media platforms a day. And we know they're really cognizant of whether companies and brands are doing good things for consumers beyond just making money, and that they're going to turn against products that they don't think match their values or they don't think match their desire for authenticity. So part of why we're focused on Gen Z is because they are having a massive impact on how businesses operate. And we're going to need to be really adept at communicating with them in order to support dairy's long-term future. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how that's coming to life. We're doing 3 activations in the next 2 months, all that demonstrate how we're connecting dairy story to this younger audience. First, we're going to tap into their love of video gaming to capture their attention and show them how dairy products fit really well in that growing occasion in their days, considering that about 90% of Gen Z games, and it shows no sign of slowing. And second, we know that Gen Z is really interested in knowing where their food comes from. So we're going to make sure that farmers they can relate to are showing up in their social media feeds to tell that story. So our first activation that we're excited to share with you today is called Beat the Lag. It comes on the heels of some other game activations we did last fall that brought dairy farming and dairy farmers' care for the environment to life through the game Minecraft. And now we're using gaming to help reposition milk and dairy to meet Gen Z's wellness needs. As Barb said, it's about balance. They are less interested in the particulars of vitamins and minerals in a food or beverage, and more interested in what that food is going to do for their body, how it's going to make them feel. And in fact, our research has found that some of dairy's biggest opportunities to win with Gen Z is by positioning as a food that will sustain their energy throughout the day, or let them feel relaxed, recharged while doing the things that they love. So right now we're doing this campaign, as I said, called Beat the Lag, which is about how dairy foods and beverages can give gamers an energy boost or a tasty pick-me-up during a long stretch of gaming. The word lag in gaming is when a game slows down or the graphics can't load and it really drives gamers crazy. We think that human gamers can have their own lag going on, and dairy is just the way to help them beat that. But we're not going to tell gamers what to eat. We're actually partnering with Jordan Marin, who's here today, aka Captain Sparkles to his fans, and Rosanna Pacino, another massive gaming influencer and culinary influencer. And they're going to help us get millions of their fans coming up with their own ideas for what dairy snacks help them beat that human lag. And then they're turning it into a contest where they can win gaming prizes. And actually, if they win the contest, they will be featured in an award ceremony that's actually going to be hosted in a actual Minecraft game and live stream. So as you can see, this is really cool and exciting stuff. The campaign literally just started a week ago, and already the content's had over 3 million views. We are beating industry averages already in engagement rates with these videos, thanks to our amazing partners and the cool content. And I'm really excited to share the final results with you, because we clearly have some amazing momentum on this front. Before we talk more about Beat the Lag, there's just a couple other activations happening this month I want you to know about. Also on the gaming front, we are taking Fuel Up to Play 60, which, as you all might know, is the nation's leading in-school and physical activity program created by dairy farmers. We are taking it into the gaming space by partnering with a company called Go Noodle to create a video game for those younger Gen Zers. As Barb said, they go the whole way down to 10 years old. Now, Go Noodle has become massively popular this past year when a lot of schools were closed and teachers and parents had to turn to it when they couldn't have real phys ed classes when they got canceled. If any of you have young kids at home, you're well familiar with the popularity of Go Noodle. Well, Go Noodle is creating their first ever two-person game, and they wanted to work with us and the NFL to get kids actually physically active. You got to move in this game. And when they score points, these kids get rewarded with healthy foods like milk and dairy. So an awesome way to reach those younger kids, get them excited about dairy products while they're doing the things that they love. In addition, we're using this June, National Dairy Month, to meet Gen Z on the social platforms that they love and spend a lot of time at, to give them an unexpected look at dairy farming. If you didn't know, most Gen Zers spend about 3 hours on social media, so a lot of time for us to make a connection with them. Thanks to amazing partnership from our state and regional checkoffs, we are tapping into young dairy farmers across the country to get on platforms that Gen Z loves, like TikTok, like Instagram, and introduce Gen Z to the next generation of dairy farmers who we know are just as innovative, resilient, funny as that Gen Z audience and the entertainment they're craving. So keep a lookout on World Milk Day, which you all know is June 1st. We have a new online video that we're launching that's going to show a really rather fun and entertaining side of young farmers, showing what they're doing when they're not working so hard to care for cows and bring milk to the products that consumers love. And we are hoping that more millennial and Gen Z farmers across the country will spend that month getting in on the fun, sharing their own stories on social media, so that we can show young consumers the future of dairy farming up close in a way they can relate to. Now, all of this activations, these are not going to stop after June. We are gearing up for more this fall as we get ready for Gen Z to return to school. And you will see that all of it is poised towards making sure Gen Z's love for dairy only grows.
We hear from the California Dairy Farmer right after this.
Having problems with nematodes? ProMax is your number one solution. Promax is a powerful fungicide and nematicide that works to kill and control nematodes and soil-borne disease. Promax is a powerful and easy-to-use product in your fields. WaterRight Technologies is your source for this powerful solution. Visit WRTAG.com/Promax for more information.
Dairy Management, Inc. is focused on Gen Z for June Dairy Month this year. Part of the plan to bring the spotlight to dairy is to bring in current trends and influencers. California Gen Z dairy farmer Nevin Lemos was featured in their kickoff media session in a chat with DMI Vice President of Industry Media Relations, Scott Wallen.
So, Nevin, you're up. We mentioned you a couple times here today. You run a dairy farm in California, a farm you actually started when you were all of 20. That's an amazing accomplishment. You know, in addition to being a dairy farmer, you stay quite busy being an advocate. You know, you're on social media quite a bit. You're a gamer yourself. First of all, hello. Thank you for joining us. And can you just start with maybe some background for those who may not know you, a little bit about your family and farm?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And thanks to the speakers before me. A lot of good information. About me, my name's Nevin Lemus. I started my own dairy farm 4 years ago. When I was 20, so I'm 24 now. I am the fourth generation in my family, so we go way back, and it runs pretty deep with the business and the lifestyle as a whole. I employ three full-time people on my dairy facility, and I stay pretty busy here myself. And it's just a really good lifestyle, and all Jersey cows, milking 400, and it's been going pretty good sense.
Well, great. You know, you've heard us speak a lot today about Gen Z, your generation. We're going to pick your brain for some insights on Gen Z. What is it that your peers seek? Give us some idea of what they're after and what you do to reach them.
Sure. Yeah. As we all know, Generation Z is very tech native. Born and raised with smartphones and the internet. And one thing that I am optimistic about, especially with Gen Z, is because the massive amount of information that's on the internet, I feel like Gen Z is so savvy that they're able to pick out what is accurate and reliable information. Because in the beginning of this whole internet boom, I feel like people were too trusting of information and didn't put the scrutiny on information like they should be. And I feel like Gen Z is very good about cutting through the noise and getting to the accurate information.
Well, that's very encouraging to hear. What are those interactions like, though, if you're, you know, engaging with somebody, you know, through your channels, what do you guys talk about? What is it that they maybe most want to know about you? And have you had successes that you can share with us?
So going back to our farm tour, our digital farm tour, it was over Zoom with Jordan and Rosanna. That was a lot of fun getting to show them around digitally. But especially some of the questions that Jordan had, I was very impressed with. The wanting to understand the business as a system, I thought was very interesting. Because we focus so much on animal care and conveying that side and the importance of that to the consumer. But to see Jordan's especially interest in the business side, and okay, so how does that process work? And he was a step ahead of me on a lot of his questions. So I appreciate, and I think it's that maybe that gamer mentality too, the, like in video games, you know, things you level up and, things are systematic in that way. So I feel like the Gen Z, people can appreciate a system, and dairies are very systematic and very well rehearsed and very organized. So I feel like that is appreciated. So both aspects, animal welfare and care, but also the efficiency and productivity that is impressive on a dairy farm. I feel like that's appreciated.
Yeah. Can you give us some idea of the role gaming plays in your life? I know you're super busy as a farmer, but do you make time each day, each week for gaming? And then just some thoughts too on the checkoff strategy of working with people like Jordan. What do you think of that?
So for me personally, it's been a little while since gaming has been really a part of my life. Yeah. You know, the last 4 years, it pretty much just 100% about the business, you know, 120 hour weeks, just solid for the last 4 years to make my dream a reality. It was pretty tough in the beginning, but it's finally come to fruition and, you know, cash flowing itself and, not too much time for anything else. Cause this is my baby for sure. Passion project, you know, But to answer your second question, I think it's definitely very important to work with people like Jordan and Rosanna, due to their influence on Gen Z. You know, in Gen Z, I feel like, just my personal opinion is, straying away maybe from the amount of, influence they would take from maybe Hollywood celebrities, and they really value these YouTube personalities, these influencers, because I think it's more on a real level with them. They like to follow these people that are just real, and I think, like I kind of mentioned before, I think the Gen Z really looks through kind of a facade, and they look deeper at these celebrities, and so I think they put a lot of value on these influencers. And if gaming is something that is resonates with Gen Z, then I think that's a good place to put our focus.
Popular Minecraft gamer Jordan Marin, who is better known as Captain Sparkles, was also part of Monday's DMI kickoff for June Dairy Month.
First of all, Jordan, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good to be here. It's very new for me, and very cool to be a part of.
Well, we're excited to hear some more from you. So why don't we just start with some questions? Can you share a little bit of background about yourself, how long you've been at this? And you really have broken through with Gen Z, which is where we want to go. 11 million followers is absolutely incredible. Just what kind of insights can you maybe share with the audience on how you've been so successful?
Sure. So I started making videos on YouTube in 2010. So a bit over 11 years ago, and in internet time, which I think progresses faster than dog years, it makes me a bit of a grandpa at this point. And so a lot of those videos have been on Minecraft. That's stuck around for a super long time, and a combination of YouTube videos, live streaming. And it's been a fun process. A lot of the kids who watch fit within the Gen Z age range that you guys are talking about. I wish I had an exact answer as to why people watch me specifically. I feel like someone else who watches me could explain that better, but I think maybe it's a combination of the showing people things that they can do themselves in games, also just following along for storylines that are in various series, or maybe for some reason they are just interested in listening to me speak. I was just telling Barbara before we started this that some people say they enjoy falling asleep to my videos and live streams. So I could just be my voice potentially. But I don't know if there's any magical answer to why.
Well, whatever you're doing, it's working quite well, obviously, with all those followers. So congratulations on that. You know, we talked about your involvement with the dairy industry. Kind of walk back to that moment when you first were approached about working with dairy. What was it that made it kind of an appealing decision for you to come forward and work with us?
Sure. So I eat lots of dairy in my own diet. One of my favorite foods is pizza. I'm especially a huge fan of drinks that have added milk or cream in them, like sodas with cream added are just, they're delicious. I love them. And so getting to work with the industry as a whole seemed like a natural link. And so we did a little bit of a focus group back in fall, where me and a few people who are followers of mine, we got together in a call, and DMI kind of shared their ideas for products, potential products that could be rolled out down the line. My audience gave their feedback on that. And then we took that focus group of a small amount, just three people who follow me, and then turned that into some Instagram story slides that then I was able to share out with a more wide range of followers. They were able to give their feedback through a poll as to what products might interest them, what they'd be interested in buying and eating in the future. And hopefully it turned out to be some valuable insight.
So of course we had to start with a farm tour. Unfortunately, it had to be virtually given all that was going on in our world, but you had an opportunity to do a virtual farm tour with our next speaker, California dairy farmer, Nevin Lemus. What was that experience like for you? And were there some things that you learned about dairy that you didn't know before?
Yeah, definitely. I've never been on a dairy farm before, and I hadn't watched shows either. So I was going in blind, and it was very cool to see. Nevin, I mean, I think he's younger than me, and he manages this entire dairy farm. I'm all just on the digital asset side of things, and he's got a lot to manage, and it's very impressive. But it was nice to see the cows have a lot of room to live their lives. They were very, very excited to go actually be milked. They were all lining up. And that was very interesting to see. And it was just, it all in all looked like a nice place for the animals. I now have a cow that is named after me, Sparkles, as does Rosanna, my counterpart in this whole thing. So that's pretty cool. And I'm hoping Nevin will keep us updated on as they grow, and maybe one day we'll be able to go there and meet them.
Well, that's awesome. I hope that happens. That is quite the honor to meet have a cow named after you for sure. Let's just finish up with one final question. Looking ahead to this year, what's on tap for you and DMI? What is the key objective that you want to get out of this partnership?
So obviously the goal is to inform the Gen Z audience that dairy is protein packed and it can help fuel you up, whether you're going to be gaming or you're going to be doing homework, work, whatever it is in your day-to-day life. And so the messaging, Beat the Lag, obviously, is showing that not only can it be the hardware, your internet connection that can contribute to lag in the game, but also, if you're not properly fueled up, if you haven't had nutrition before you're going to play video games, then you can just be bogged down by your own tiredness. So being able to load yourself up on protein is a good way to hopefully prevent that. So we've just released a couple of YouTube videos, Rosanna and me, and people seem to be enjoying those. We did a couple of recipes that incorporated dairy. I did some pizza rolls, mentioning back to my love of pizza. And then we're hosting the contest. Once the contest is all wrapped up and we've looked at all the recipes people have submitted, their own dairy-based recipes, then I've got a Minecraft world, a map in production right now, and I'll be playing through that. In between stages, we'll announce some of the winners as we go through, and then those people, hopefully they'll be excited at some of the gaming gear that they'll win, and we'll get some cool recipe inspiration out of it.
We put a link to DMI in the notes for today's show. Coming up tomorrow, the pesticide mill assessment. We get both sides of the issue. That's Wednesday on the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson from the JCS Marketing Team. Thanks for listening.